good to be here today. We've already had some good words, which is always encouraging. Sometimes I just think, man, it might be better if I just didn't show up. You guys would handle it pretty well. It'd be good, it's good to see that. So, how many of you are familiar with this book, You Are Special by Max Lucado? Story about the Wemmicks and Punchinello. Okay. It's a pretty good book. I have multiple copies of this in my house most of the time because this is one of my favorite things to give for baby showers. I like giving these out because I think every parent should read this story to their kids when they're growing up because it's really an excellent read. It's a great presentation of the gospel. It really helps your kid understand their value. But how many of you think that you could retell this story without the book? Anybody? I could do a pretty good job. I know the story. Well, I've read it so many times. The more that you read this story, the more familiar you become with it, right? And the more familiar you become with the story, the better you get at being able to retell the story, of being able to share the story with other people, right? But if you don't know the story very well, it's hard to share the story. Like, there are some of you that you didn't want to raise your hand when I asked if you could retell the story because you were afraid I was going to ask you to come up here and do it. Yeah, you know who you are. You're like, well, I'm not raising my hand because I know how Aaron works. But you could probably do a pretty good job. You could tell the basic gist of the story, and you'd be all right at it. But if I asked you for some specifics, like what were the two dumb things that Punchinello was really afraid that he might do? Ah, crickets. He was worried that he might forget to wear his hat, and he was afraid that he might step in a puddle. Those are two of the things that he talked about that he was worried that he might do, that people would put dots on him instead of stars. Or if I asked you, who did Punchinello hang out with most of the time? Do you remember that? Other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. Or if I asked you, why did Punchinello start to leave the workshop? When he goes to Eli's workshop and he's there, why did he decide that he was going to leave? Because he saw a hammer as large as his arm, and he was afraid. So there are details in the story that if you read this a lot, you would probably remember those details. So the more that you read it, the more familiar you are with it. But what about this book? Beware the Blue Bagoo. Anybody know this one? Yeah, no way. There's no way anybody knows this book. So, can you tell anybody anything about this book? No. In order to be able to share the content, you have to read the book. You have to be familiar with it. And the more familiar you are with it, the better equipped you are to share that story with other people. You can't share with others what you haven't read. Now, it's the same thing with a song or with a movie, you know, any other type of media. The more exposure you get to it, the better you know it. The more that you listen to a podcast, the more that you can regurgitate the contents of that podcast, the more you can quote it, the better that you are at explaining it and sharing it with other people. Now, obviously, I don't really care if you can quote You Are Special. But as your pastor, I do care if you know God's Word. And the better that you know the Bible, the better we are equipped to share the content of the Bible with others. But if we don't read it, If you've never read it, or if you barely read it at all, you won't be able to share it very well with other people, will you? That is one of the reasons why we're doing Grace Reads. We need to be able to share the Bible with other people. One of our roles as Christians is to share these words with others. We've been talking about Grace Reads. We first introduced this idea of Grace Reads last September. And we've been sprinkling information in about it here and there. We've been building up to this moment, but the time's finally here. We are officially beginning Grace Reads tomorrow with the start of the new year. And so there are a lot of really important reasons to get into the Word of God, and we're going to cover a lot of those over the next few weeks. But here's our mission statement that we came up with as elders. We did a retreat last February, and that's where we came up with this idea, and we've been kind of building on this. This is our mission statement for Grace Reads. Our desire as elders is for Grace Community to be a church that vigorously reads and values the Word of God. I love that statement. I'm proud of our elders for devoting themselves to this cause and understanding that there is nothing more important for us in developing Christian character and in learning who God is and what He expects from us than these pages. And our hope is that through this Grace Reads initiative that we will move our entire congregation, every person, into a deeper relationship with Scripture to the point where, like, our greatest desire is that every individual will be consuming great-sized chunks of Scripture every day. And we intend to accomplish this through a combination of teaching resources, challenge goals for us to accomplish as a community, as a whole, but also individually. We want to challenge you, and we want to challenge you as families. We want every person to make forward progress in the amount of Scripture that they encounter daily. So there are a couple different ways. It might be how much time that you spend just reading. You know, some of you, it's a short thing, all you've ever done. Some of you have never done any at all. I mean, that's just the truth of it. The statistics don't lie, that there is a portion of our congregation that the only Bible exposure you get is right here, right now. I want to change that. I'm deeply unsatisfied for you because I know what you're missing out on. For some of you, it's a quick, you have the Bible app or you have a daily devotion and you have one verse that you read, and I would like to take you into more than that. Some of you have great habits of reading. You read good amounts of Scripture every day, but it's just a surface reading, and for you, what we really want, we want you to take you deeper into really poring over and chewing the cud and really immersing yourself in understanding, not just reading, but understanding. And so for some of you, it's going to be about the depth of your reading, not the amount of your reading that's going to change. I just realized I totally took Cole's time. Sorry, Cole. I just now realized we have a Kidman sermon. We'll do it at the end, Cole. What a morning. That's not distracting at all. You'll understand why that's funny even more later. So we'll get to that. One of the reasons also why our elders want us as a congregation to dive more deeply into the Word of God is we believe that we have this conviction that the discovery of our BHAG, we've talked about this big, hairy, audacious goal, this kingdom mission that we really feel like God has something big he wants us to accomplish as a church. Something that will really make our mark in Southeast Kansas, in the four-state area, something that he doesn't want other people, other churches to do, something that he wants us as a congregation to tackle, to either bring more people into the kingdom or to serve the people in the kingdom or to serve the people that are not yet part of the kingdom. That there is something big that we really feel like God wants us to do. And we believe that that kingdom mission relies on our commitment to and our knowledge of God's Word. We feel like this is going to be a critical component, not only of our ability to recognize the mission when He reveals it to us, but also in our ability to carry it out. So we believe being in the Word of God is incredibly important. I've got a short video for you to listen that kind of talks about this a little bit.
Put your hand up if you've read the Bible from cover to cover. Okay? Okay, forget the index and the maps, you know. Genesis to Revelation. All right, hands down. The rest of you, okay, chill out about it. Don't feel too guilty yet. Listen, when you get to heaven, it's going to be a little bit awkward. Because you're going to get there and Peter's going to go, welcome, we've been expecting you, come on in. Oh, let me introduce you to Obadiah. Obadiah says, did you like my book? You go, book, what book? And then he introduces you to Zephaniah. Zephaniah says, did you like my book? What, you wrote a book as well? Listen, you're not going to be able to have conversations with certain people. I'd urge you and encourage you, don't put yourself in that situation. Seriously. This is the only reliable data that we have about God. Put your hand up.
That's pretty good. God's people need to be immersed in God's Word. So I'm gonna share a few verses with you that give some authority to what I'm sharing with you today. And like Sarah mentioned, I cut this list down way shorter than I wanted to. I had to use some restraint. I'm not going to explain these verses to you this morning. I'm going to read them, and they're going to be up on the prompter, but I just want you to just read and draw your own conclusions and let the scriptures themselves speak to you. This first one comes from Romans 15:4. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I want you to dwell on that for just a moment. Second one comes from Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Matthew 4, verse 4. This is one of our primary verses that we were thinking about when we started this campaign. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. "My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh." This last one is Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Our hope as elders is to help make these and other virtues of reading God's word present in the lives of everyone attending this church. We believe that if you put effort into it, your return will far outweigh your investment. And I could go on today and on and on and on. I'm having to use some restraint and piecemeal this over the next month, because I'm just really excited for you to see the stuff that we've got prepared for you, and I'm excited for you to get into His Word and for it to become a greater part of your life. So this morning I want to just give you an outline of how the program is going to work, because this is a shared event. It is a corporate event. One of the things that we're working on, the reason why we have the survey, and for those of you who don't have the church app, there are some printed versions of that survey out there in the lobby. If you would just take one of these and fill that out, and you can just leave it on the table there in the basket, that would be fine too. But this is actually going to help us set our goal as a church, because one of the things that we're going to do is we're gonna asking you to track your time that you spend in the Word. And it's not, so we've got these read reports, and we're just going to ask you that there's a bunch of these on the table right there as you come into the lobby. Take a couple of these with you, and then each week you're gonna write down, you're going to just mark, this is what I've read, how much time I've spent in the Word. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more. And you'll put it in the basket, and you'll grab another one for that week, or you can take a couple of them with you if you want. But we're just asking you to track it, because that's going to help us know, are we meeting our goal as a church? And everything counts. So the way this is going to work, if you spend 15 minutes in the Word in the week, that's 15 points. Woo! That's easy math, right? If you spend an hour in the Word, how many points is that? 60 points, right? That it's super easy. And so every minute you spend is 1 minute towards our corporate goal. We're going to collect all these numbers every week, and we're going to let you know this is how many minutes our church as a whole spent in the Word that week. And it includes everything. Several months back, we gave you a Bible intake paper, and we're going to put those back out as well. If you are discussing the Word, if you're in a home group, or at your if table, or if you have a group, if you join with Sarah in going through Mama Bear Apologetics or one of the other studies that's going on, track that time. That counts as part of your time of engaging with God's Word when you're discussing it. If you're participating in one of the classes on Wednesday night, that counts as time spent discussing the Word. If you listen to podcasts or you watch the Bible Project videos, one of the things that I've been doing recently is I just went through the Minor Prophets again. But what I did this time is I would read the Minor Prophet, and then I would watch or listen to, or sometimes both, the Bible Project video and 30 minutes in through the Bible Books podcast, which kind of just gives you a summary and some background information of the book. And then I would read it again, and I'd go, oh, now that makes more sense. Yeah, that it was. That's something that I've been doing. Any of those things that you do, if you are memorizing, if you're meditating on it, if you're listening to it, if you're listening to a podcast, anything at all, at the best you can, keep track of that time and record it on here and turn it in each week. Now, it's all anonymous. There's no place for your name on here. Okay, nobody's going to know how. The massive amount of time or the minuscule amount of time, because we don't really care about that. We know that everybody is in a different place. So here's what we're going to do. I want everybody to say cool beans when I point, okay? All right? So when I do this, okay, that was pretty good. That was actually better than that. When I played that in my head, it didn't go that well. But you guys were on top of it. All right, ready?
Cool beans.
Okay. So wherever a person is, wherever a person is in their Bible intake right now, that's cool with us, all right? So if 5 minutes a day is your threshold, if that's all the time that you can spend in the Word every day, all right? If you've already got an established habit of reading that's more than 5 minutes a day, and you just want to add 5 more minutes, so you go from 5 minutes to 10 minutes? All right. The intent of this system, of this Grace Reads program, is to incentivize reading more, but we also don't want to penalize people for slowing down and getting more out of your reading. So it's not a matter of we don't want you to race through everything. We just want you to be in the Word more. And so it might be that you're reading the same amount of words, but you're learning more about those words, right? And so if you're going to stop and dwell on it more, that still counts as time spent in the Word, even though all you're really doing is you're slowing down your progress. And so on this, there's a number of different things. There's points that you can, there's bonus points also that you can gain. Like if you finish reading a book, like if you finish the book of Hezekiah, that's, I knew Dad would get that. There's no book of Hezekiah. If you finish the book of Luke, there's extra points for that, and you'll mark that down. If you complete reading all of the Gospels completely, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you mark that down, that's bonus points. If you finish completing the whole New Testament or all of the wisdom and poetry books, there's bonus points for that. We also have some fun stuff. We've got Bible Bingo. Woo! So the way this works actually is there's different bingo cards. I do want to point out, because one of my elders pointed this out, this is not for you to be listening to my sermon and mark them and then go, bingo, in the middle of the sermon. That's not what this is. It explains it on the back, actually, the way this works. But as you are doing your reading, just have this with you. And in like this one has music or singing as one of the boxes. If in your reading you read something and there's music or singing, like David playing the lyre and dancing, you know, whatever, mark that off. Or if it talks about weather, like the storm when Jesus was walking on water, that mark that off. We've also got one that's for the kids. And if you're a kid at heart, go ahead. It's the only colored one there. So if you want to do this one, that's great. It's just, it's more picture-focused than word-focused. We've also got this here, which is, we've got memory work. And it's, we've got some verses on here. There's also a collection of verses. We've got some doctrinal memory verses, some encouragement memory verses, some memory verses that have to do with salvation. There's another list that we're going to be putting out there. But honestly, if you are reading something and you find a verse that you want to memorize, mark it down. Turn that in. That counts. We've got the reading plans that are out there. By the way, those of you who signed up for one of those reading plans that we had out there on the wall, there's packets, manila packets that are out there on the table with your name on there. And so I would encourage you to grab those on your way out if you haven't already grabbed it on the way in. And it's not too late. If you do not have a reading plan already, I know a lot of you already have your established thing and you don't want to break from that. And that's totally fine. Those are not the only way to do this. Those are just examples of things that you can do. In fact, I've got one for anybody who's bold enough to join me in this. This is the shred. All right? This is what you know that this, the shred plan, was it a guy or a girl who made this one? Yeah, 100%. Okay? So this one is the entire Bible in 30 days. So anybody who's bold enough to join me on this, I'll hook you up. And it actually has some guidelines, some principles that I'll give you on how to actually accomplish this. But you can read. There's one of the plans that I've got. You can read the entire Bible in a year in just 12 minutes a day. So it is doable. A few years back when I was doing a Bible reading challenge for the kids and youth group. To do a challenge for them, I read the whole thing in 1 week. Because they say you can read out loud the entire Bible in 52 hours. So I thought, I wonder if that's true. And so I set out to do it. And so anybody who's bold enough, now, if you're just starting out, this is not for you. I mean, this is about 2 hours of reading a day. And so you're going to say goodbye to Netflix probably and your social media, because those are going to be enough distraction that you probably won't be able to do it. But I'm just throwing these things out there because I want you to get in the Word more, right? We've also got a couple of other things that are going to happen. We've got Bible Boot Camp. And Bible Boot Camp is going to be a multi-generational. It's going to be things for all ages. And we don't have it all set up yet. It's going to happen here in a couple months. It'll happen this spring, but it's going to be something for the little kids and the big kids, right? It's for everybody, and it's going to be a way for us to be able to give you some tools on how to get more out of your reading. We're going to do everything from what is the Bible, you know, explaining about the different translations and stuff like that, to also showing you how to do word studies and talking about symbolism in the Bible and stuff like that. And it's going to be either a Friday, Saturday, or an all-day Saturday kind of thing. We also, if we have enough interest, this is one of the ideas that was presented to us by one of our elders, we think it would be really cool if we did something kind of like our 24 hours of prayer, where we do the prayer chain. But if we did something where we set it up, we made a sign up, and we had people come and read out loud the scriptures, to where we have our own copy and our own audio version of the Bible, where it's all written or read out loud by people of our congregation. That might be kind of cool. That specifically, when this idea was presented, I'm gonna embarrass somebody. It was said, I'd love to hear the Proverbs read by Aline. It'd just be really kind of cool to be able to hear, just listen to or the Gospels or any part of it. But there are people in our church that are just, I mean, there's a lot of faithful saints who've been in the faith for a long time. I would love to hear you read the Scriptures. And so if we have enough interest in that, that's another thing that's going to happen. So there, that's basically it. I'm going to explain more of it as the weeks go along, but that's Grace Reads. So let me pray a blessing on this. If you have questions about any of this, come and find me after the service, after Cole gets to do his Kidman message. But let me pray a blessing upon this as we enter in the new year, and we'll see what happens. Father God, I thank you very much for this opportunity to exhort and encourage people into your word. You had great foresight, and you know how we are wired because you wired us. And you know that we are easily distracted, and we are prone to fanciful ideas, and we need something as firm and as concrete and as solid as your word to guide us, to heal us, and to show us the way. So we thank you for the words that are on these pages. And I pray, Father, that you will inspire and encourage everybody in our congregation to take that step forward. Whatever it is for them, give them that prompt that they need. So I pray this in the name of your Son. Amen. Now, unfortunately, the timing of everything today is going to make things a little bit unavoidably awkward, because I needed to update everybody on Grace Reads. That's going to be part of my message this morning, because, you know, our hope is that everybody will take this on as a New Year's resolution. You know, that's a big thing that a lot of people do, so we want that to be part of your resolution. However, today is also Communion Sunday, right? So we need to take communion together as brothers and sisters in the family of God. And so I know this is a bit of an abrupt shift, but please bear with me as we transition into taking the Lord's Supper. I want to read from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 19. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, I want to share with you some thoughts that I had about Communion Sunday and about the Lord's Supper. This is my shame, that I participate in the Lord's Supper. I mean, if you think about it, it is a walk of shame to come up to this table and take the bread and take the juice. Because in doing so, I admit I screwed up. This is a public profession of my sin. No one wants to publicly confess their sin. I remember when I was going to Ozark, and some friends of ours, they were in a relationship, and to put it delicately, they got more intimate with one another than they were supposed to because they weren't married yet. And she got pregnant. And because of that, one of the things that the school had them do is they had them come before the entire student body and confess what had happened. That was a hard thing to do. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, it was embarrassing for them, but they did it. I mean, could you imagine if before you could take part in the Lord's Supper, you had public confession of your actual sins was a requirement? I mean, it is a grace that we do not have to bear ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ. The only one who sees is the one who has seen all of our dirty deeds done firsthand. He's the only other one who knows. In 1 Samuel 2:3, it says that the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows I'm weak. He knows that I have done things that I am not proud of, things which I do not want to speak about with others. I would just as soon ignore the reality of them and pretend they don't exist, which sometimes I do. But here, and every Sunday, I admit before all these perfect people, in front of all these saints, I am not a saint. I'm a sinner. And the Lord's Supper exists for sinners. They're the only ones who eat this meal. Sinless people don't eat the Lord's Supper. They don't have any need for it. But if you're like me and you know that the Lord's Supper is for you, let's start by saying out loud what our actions are already saying about us. I want you to repeat after me. I am a sinner. Therefore, I eat the Lord's Supper. We've confessed with our mouth. And here in a moment, we're going to come forward publicly in front of everyone else here, and we will confess again with our bodies as we partake together that this is my shame. But this is also my glory. The Lord's Supper. That I participate in this, it is a walk of confidence that I come to this table. Because in doing so, I recognize that Jesus is my Savior. It is a public profession of my salvation. I'm saved. Everyone needs to do this because we're all sinners. I've made the transition from sinner to saint. I'm not guilty anymore. I am sinless in the eyes of the only one who matters, the Lord. He washed away the stain of all the unspoken things that I did that I'm not proud of. And he no longer holds them against me because of Jesus. And I will proclaim to anyone who will listen the joy his salvation brings me. And I will declare from the rooftops that he is real. He is my God, and I love him so. So here, every Sunday, among my friends, my fellow believers, my fellow saints, I declare, by taking this bread and this cup, I am saved. I'm not lost. I'm not guilty. I've been made clean and whole. The Lord's Supper exists for saints. Those are the only people who eat this meal. Because sinners don't eat the Lord's Supper. They have no desire for it. If you're like me, and you know that the Lord's Supper is for you, let's continue this morning by saying out loud what our actions are about to say about us. Repeat after me. I am a saint. Therefore, I eat the Lord's Supper. There's a lot that can be said about the Lord's Supper. It's individual, but it's also corporate. It looks back, but it also looks forward. It's a memorial, but it's also a promise. This day, we recognize that we are all the same. In Christ, there's no Jew, nor Greek, no slave, nor free, male, nor female. We are all the same in our dependency of Christ to make us whole, to move us from sinner to saint, lost to saved, enemy to heir. In this meal, there's barely enough bread to taste, barely enough juice to wash away the dryness of the unleavened bread, but nothing satisfies like the body and blood of Christ. Jesus gave lasting instructions to the disciples during the Passover meal where he declared that this is my blood of the covenant. And in that moment, he identified not only with the Passover lamb, which was slain to save Israel from the angel of death so many hundreds of years before in Egypt, he also identified himself with the blood sprinkled on the altar on the Day of Atonement. The blood of atonement, the blood of the covenant, which is no longer needed because of his sacrifice. He is the Lamb that came into the world to be slain for the sins of mankind. My sins, your sins. It's the sacrifice to end all sacrifices. So at this time, the band's going to come back up and we're going to enter into a time of worship. And so I want to encourage you to come forward as we sing praises to the Lord who saved us from ourselves. I wanted to take your communion back to your seat, and once everybody's ready, we're going to participate together as the body of Christ in this holy sacrament. So would you stand with us as we sing?